Okay, we're on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. I'm beginning three lines from the top. So Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Ezehu Mion. What's Mion? In other words, what are the mechanics of Mion? Mion, of course, is when the young girl that he wants out of the marriage. So what does she have to do? So Amra, if she be ploni bali, if she be kiddushin shekachuni imi biachai, she says, I don't want I don't want this guy. I don't want Reuven. Very simple. I'm not interested in the marriage that my mother and brothers did for me. That alone will be enough, according to. Then he says, "Yeter al kain, even more of a chiddush." Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I feel you shevet ba'apiryon, v'olachet mi beit avi lebeit bala, v'amar yev shevet ploni bali zeumian. According to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, even if the woman is apiryon, I think it's the name of like a catering hall now today, or it was apiryon or a restaurant. Anyway, so. Apriyon, they would take this girl and like a big chair or like with two poles and have a canopy over it, maybe like you've seen in the movies or something like that, and taking it from her father's house to the future husband's house. But she says, while she's riding this Apriyon, I'm not interested in this deal. I'm out of here. Now, the thing is, even though she doesn't get out, walk and, you know, take a walk, that's also sufficient. He says, Zehumin, Yeter al Kain, Amr Rabbi Huda, even more of a chiddush, the Tana Rabbi Huda says, even if the guests were gathered in her husband's house, she's busy serving them drinks. In other words, she's the wife, she's serving them drinks. He says, and she said to them, I'm not interested in my husband Ploni. So here's more of a chiddush, because they could think like, I don't know, it's just like to keep it on the, it's not in front of a bezdin, and the thing just she's telling me I'm not happy with my marriage. But according to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, Harei Umiyan, that's enough for Miyan. And then we're around 10 lines down on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. Yeter al Kain Amar, it should be Rabbi Yehuda. Yeter al Kain, according to Bach. Yeter al Kain Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Afilu Shigra Ba'ala Eitzel Chenvani, Labilo Chepetz Mishalo, even if her husband sent her to the merchant to pick up something for him, he says, Va'amra, if she beponi bali, and then she mentions to the Chanvani, I'm not interested in my husband, ain lechamin gadol mizeh. So according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, even though there's not a bezdin, there's only one person there, the Chanvani, according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that suffices for miyun. Okay, who's got questions, comes to us, and who did so far?
Yeah, so we said that, again, the Mishnah said, with Malchokin tonight, we said in the Mishnah, have to be in front of the bezdin, and some felt in front of two. But according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, it's like the standards are a little bit lower, it sounds like. Okay, everybody good? Okay. That was in the Mishnah we mentioned, but here we have Rabbi Yehuda, and apparently he has a different opinion. All right, any questions from the cyber world? I'm going on. Oh, doesn't look like we have Fern here yet. She's still trying to connect to the audio. All right, let's go further. All right, now, around 9:10, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas Omer, Koltinoket Bechule. Now, the Tana Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas says that any child, Sheni Chola Shmor Kiddushin, it's Shrich Lamayin. If she's too young, she doesn't know how to guard things. I give her, you know, like a diamond ring, or I give her something like money. She doesn't know how to guard it. So she doesn't even require me, and she just walks away because she's not in the Parsha, even for rabbinic marriage. So according to the Rif and the Rambam, though they brought down the article, it means between age 6 and 10, depending on the sensibility of the child. So no. Mian is the father's not in the picture. Mian's got nothing to do with the father. No father here. Okay. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas Omer Koltinok v'chulei. Am Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel Halachik Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas. So Rabbi Yudah says the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas. We're around 20 lines down in Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. I'm happy you're connected now, Fern. Okay, I assume you are. Give me a thumbs up if you're hearing. Thumbs up? All right, I guess it's not. Okay, so he says, so the Gemara says, Tana Shlomiyana, Ba'amda V'nisei. Now, here we're going, up until now, we've had a statement from her to affect me. In other words, she says, I'm not interested, I'm out of here, whatever. When we had, Rabbi Yehuda had even like easier statements. Now we're doing, maybe by her actions, she doesn't even to make a statement. He says, Tana, Tana Tona Brisa, Tana Shlomiyana Ba'amda V'nisei, if she didn't do Mion, and then she marries somebody else. In other words, she's quote married to Reuven, and then she goes through Nisuin with Shimon.
So he says, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira Amru, Nisuea Hein Hein Miuna. So the name of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira, they said, the fact that she's going through Nisuin would be, that's even though she's not saying anything, that's like, you know, symbolic speech. You can't have a greater Miyun than that. You know, she's running off with this guy. So then that's definitely Miyun. So Ibayilahu, so the question was asked in the base medrash, Nitkachamahu. What if, now does she have to be suin? Let's she just say, she, in other words, she's so-called married to Reuven, and then somebody else offers her a kiddushin. So if she accepts the kiddushin, is that enough for Miyun? So he says, Tashma, so we'll try to bring a proof from the following braisa. Ketana shlo miyuna, the ketana didn't do Miyun, but amdavin it katra, and then she accepted kiddushin, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira amru kiddushin hin hin miyuna. So Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira says, if she goes through Nisun, and not even Nisun, if she goes through Kiddushin with somebody, that's the Miyun. Now, it could be that Kiddushin Nisun may not be in any way have any validity because she's a Katana and her mother and her brother. Although we learned, though, that the girl, we said, could do it. Remember, we learned in the, from some Rishonim that the girl could go through on her own, you know, to do effective a rabbinic marriage. So according to Tana Ryuda, I don't need a statement, the action does it. So Ibai Lahu, the question was asked in the base medrash. This is two lines before it gets wide. Ibai Lahu, Fern, can you hear me now, Fern? Fern, if you can hear me, lift up your right thumb. Give me a thumbs up. Okay, wonderful. I'm so happy. Okay. So we're two lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Chedam and Aleph. Okay. So Ibai Lahu, the question was asked in the base medrash. Pli Rabbanan Lay to Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira Olo. Are the Chachamim Mechulak on Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira? Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira says, an action like speaks louder than words sometimes, or as loud as words in this case. Do the Chachamim agree with him or disagree with him? In Timsi Lomar Pligi, if you assume that they're Mechulak with him, the Kiddushin or Afil B'Nisuin. So Nisuin is obviously the greater action. I'm doing Nisuin with this guy. That's the bigger statement. So are they? So do they disagree only by Kiddushin or even by Nisuin they disagree? In Timsi Lomar Pligi, and if you assume that they're Mechulak, Afil bin Yisuin, halakha kmoto or ain halakha kmoto. Is the halakha like Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira or not? Okay, so that's the question. In other words, did the Chachamim disagree with him only on Kiddushin? Kiddushin is a lesser statement. Or do they disagree with him even by Nisuin? And they say, that's the question. And then is the halakha like Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira? So the second wide line, the imtim silomar halach moto, if we're going to say the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira, is that b'nisuin, only if she goes through nisuin, so halacha is like him, that's the statement, or if it's a kiddushin, or even by kiddushin, that would be enough. Okay, so that's the question on the table. So let me just finish, and then we'll try to give a summary and help a little. I feel badly for Fern, she wasn't able to hear for a bit, so we'll see if we can help out a little bit, okay? So the third wide line. So Tashma, we learn, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, halacha to Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira. So Shmuel says halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira. So the Gemara says halacha mechal de plihi. From the fact that he says halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira, that means chachamim are mechulak with him. So now the Gemara takes it that when he said halacha to Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira, it means across the board. In other words, whether it's kiddushin or nisuin, halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda b'Mateira. And Rashi says our tavayu is more. So the Gemara says ba'kati tibayilach. So the question that the Gemara has, a variable we didn't introduce yet, is it talking about with husband number one, did she go through Nisuin with him? And then it's like, I'm out of here. Oh, Dilma Mekatra, or perhaps it's enough that she just went through Kiddushin with him, and then that's enough, you know, to for me. So Tashma, so the Gemara tries to bring a proof from the following incident. The Kalti to Abdan Imrud. The daughters-in-law of Abdon rebelled. If you remember, we had Abdon a few days ago. Who remembers where we had Abdon? It was the beginning of the week, actually. So on Daf Kuf Hey, remember we had a question, does a woman have to be Gedola in order to do Chalitza? And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi holds that she doesn't have to be Gedola. And then we had this incident where to the Chachamim, that's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe were having a discussion, and they discussed a few halakot. And then after they were discussing, then this woman came before Rebbe, and Rebbe said, "Well, he says to Abdon, check her out to see if she's a gedola." And then Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, "My father says it doesn't even have to be a gedola." and then they bring him back. So the Gemara says, though, that Abdon didn't speak so properly to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. Remember, he said, like, you know, who's, you know, stepping over the people and this, that, the other. Hold on 1 minute. I'm gonna pause in another five lines, then I'll summarize and we'll open up the table for full discussion, okay? So he says here, so the Gemara says at the end of that the daughters-in-law of Abdon did Miyun, part of the curse that they did Miyun. So Lechora, it sounds like it's the same case. That's what I saw. So he says here, so the Gemara says, Tashma, the Kalti to Abdon Imud. There was the daughters-in-law that were minors. They rebelled against their husbands, meaning that they didn't want to be intimate with them. So Rebbe sent a pair of chachamim to check out the situation with these daughters to see whether indeed they want to do miyun. So Amri Luhu Nashe, so women said to these daughters-in-law who were the ketanot, Chazu Gavraihu Dekaatu. In other words, they see the chachamim coming and they thought the chachamim were their husbands. So see, your husbands are coming. So Amri Luhu, so the girls said to these women, let them be your husbands. We're not interested in them. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rebbe. So when Rebbe heard, the Chum came back and reported what had taken place, I'm a Rebbe in the Chumiyun Gadol Miza. That's the greatest Miyun. And they say, we're out of here. They're out of there. So now my love, so the Gemara wants to be approved. My love, the Havad Masiba, is it not that these daughters-in-law already went through Nisuin with the husbands? And that would fit in with the Pshat that I was saying, that they didn't want to be intimate with them. So the Gemara says, "Lo, they have a makatsha kiddushin." The Gemara says it's not muchrach. It could be they only went through kiddushin, so it's not muchrach. In other words, we're trying to establish, you know, what's the minimum in order to do miyun. So, no. In other words, the statement isn't the issue. In other words, the issue is, they're not making the formal statement of miyun. The formal statement said is, I want to be out with the husband. They're just making a discussion, you know, let them be your husbands, you know, statement. But is a statement like that good even after kiddushin or only after nisuin? So the Gemara says that case sounds like a case of nisuin. So the Gemara says, not mukhrak, it could have been kiddushin. But the Gemara says, v'alak rabbi to b'te rabba filu b'nisuin dekama. So the Gemara says, v'alak, like even if the first one was nisuin. So it sounds like from the Gemara is saying that, 1 minute, let me just check. I want to check this one thing I want to check, and then I'll come to everybody. 1 second. So the bigger chiddush is if, like, this non-explicit statement is by nisuin. That's the bigger chiddush. In other words, is the non-explicit statement good by nisuin? In other words, by the kiddushin, I didn't explain it right. In other words, there, sure, good, but by nisuin. Okay, let me just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So I want to summarize for Fred. I felt Bailey, she was trying to get on before and wasn't able, apparently, to link up with the audio. So first we discussed what are the formalities of miyun, and the Gemara had that it could be, I'm not interested in this husband, or even the Gemara says, she goes to the storekeeper, and she says to the storekeeper, I'm not interested in my husband, that could be miyun. Then we proceeded, we said that according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, you can have even miyun with a nonverbal statement. In other words, if she accepts the kiddushin or nisuin from somebody else, that's miyun on the first husband, and that also accomplishes it. And then and then I think that was basically it. Okay, so who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? I don't know what to say. The Gemara said, I mean, the whole institution is at the Rabbanon level, and we learned from, we did Rishonim the other night, that we said that some Rishonim say that she herself could do it, and she doesn't need necessarily the brother or the mother. So if she's doing it, so the fact that she's doing it, that means she's not interested in husband number one, and that's all I can say. Well, the fact that she does it, that's the meaning, all right, that's all I got. Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Everybody happy? All right. Let's go further. Okay, now, Okay, so now we're on the eighth wide line on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. Okay, eighth wide line on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. Reb Lezer Omer Bechulei. So in the Mishnah, we said that Reb Lezer said Ein Maase Ketana Klum Ela Kemefuta, that the actions of a ketana are not significant. She's like a mafuta, like a girl who's seduced, meaning that even if she goes through this sort of kiddushin, it's limited in terms of its impact, according to the Tana Reb Lezer. She's married on a rabbanim level to this person, but her maasim are not fully effective. She's considered like mafuta. We'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Reb Lezer Omer Bechulei. So Amar Rav Yudmar Shmuel, Chosrani Akot Study Chachamim. I reviewed all the sheet of the Chachamim. L'matzati Adam Sheshvami Dota Bektanik Reb Lezer. I never saw somebody, either according to the art scroll, who was as consistent with his shitot as the Tana Reb Lezer, or the Masifta said, whose shitot are very surprising, you know, and like Reb Lezer. And it should be Reb Lezer here. Shasa Reb Lezer, Kimitayelim of a Chatzer, Bomed Bechiko, but Tabelebo fellow of a Truma Erev. Reb Lezer says that the girl, if she's a Bat Kohen and she marries the Yisrael, it's like she took a walk with this guy, and now in the evening she's eating the truma again. In other words, that her actions are not considered to be actions, the gabi all these other demons. We had it actually in the Mishnah. If you look in the Mishnah, the previous Amud, it says five of them to the bottom, like Bat Yisrael Kohen lo tochal betruma. If she can't eat truma, Bat Kohen Yisrael tochal betruma. That's what Reb Lezer means. So it's not effective vis-a-vis changing her status, eating truma. So he says, Tanya, we learn the Brisa, Reb Lezer Omer, Ein Maase Ketana Klum. The actions of a ketana are nullity. Ein Balaza Kai Lo B'Metziata. Her husband, in quotation marks, doesn't have zechuyos in her metzia. In other words, if he marries a good woman, her metzia belongs to him. But with the ketana, it's not that way. He says, Lo B'Maase Yada, that which she produces is not his. He says, V'lo b'hafarat nidareh, he can't revoke her vows. He says, V'eino yorsha, he doesn't yarshin her. V'ein mitami love, he's a Kohen, and she, Rachman al-Hassan, dies, he can't be mitami to her. Kloloshel davar, eino kishto l'kol davar, she's not like his wife for anything. Ela shesri chamiyah, but she has mian. In other words, the marriage is like limited in terms of, you know, all the duties and obligations of the parties. And that's according to the Tana Reb Lezer. Reb Yeshua Omer, Bala is a kaim and siyata. Rusha says no, that he has a chus in her mitzia. Uva maasiyada, and that which she produces. Uva parat nidere, he can revoke her vows. The yorsha, and he does the yorsha in her. Umitamila, and if he's a kohen, he can be mitami to her. Now, you can ask, if he's a kohen and he's only married on a rabbanon level, how is he allowed to be mitami to her, which is tuma, is the raisa. So Rashi says, and we had this earlier in the Gemara, if you look in the Rashi, this is 20 lines from the bottom. Mitamila and Kohen, who be afogav, in his suin didad rabbanon, how kimna behaisha, kimna diarit law, havila kimet mitzvah. In other words, since he's going to yarshin her, according to the Tana Rabbi Yeshua, so nobody wants to know from her, and it's like a mate mitzvah. So mate mitzvah, so he's not to be mitami for a mate mitzvah. Okay, we're on the third very wide line on Kuf Taina Madala. So he says, kvalosho davar, hare ishto lefo davar, el shiot sabamiyon. So that's the machloket between the Tana Reb Lezer and Tana Rabbi Yeshua. So Amar Rebbe, the third, fourth white line, Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Reb Lezer, Midivrei Reb Yeshua. So Rebbe says, Reb Lezer's opinion seems like more logical, you know, appeals to me more than Reb Yeshua. Reb Lezer, Hishva Midotav B'Ketana, according to Reb Lezer, like all the Shittot are consistent. Reb Yeshua, Chil, according to Reb Yeshua, it's not so consistent. So my Chil, like, what's so not consistent about Reb Yeshua? Yishtohi, if she's really his wife, which is the way Rabbi Yeshua tries to treat her, tibai get. So she should require again. He would just say mion. So it doesn't seem like a steam source. In other words, pretend she's a wife, but we don't say get, it's just do mion. So it doesn't seem like it seems so consistent. So the Gemara says, the Reb Lezer nami, but according to Tom Reb Lezer, ilav ishtohi, if she's not really his wife, which is the way it seems by Tom Reb Lezer, she isn't really his wife, mion nami lo tibai, she shouldn't even require mion. In other words, he can't be made for a nadarim. He doesn't need arsh, he doesn't have everything. Why does he require mian? Ella bichti tepuk. So the Gemara says, what, she's supposed to leave this relationship with nothing? So they have mian. But that's what the Gemara says with that. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Well, next Gemara has been very difficult, so I wanted to kind of get a jump on it. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
for the man or for the woman?
Why would a man marry?
You mean according to Reb Lezer, according to Reb Shu, according to anybody, according to Reb Lezer? So I assume he might marry her, but you know he's doing a favor for the family. He might marry her because he assumes that maybe when she gets older, she'll stick with him. He might marry her. Maybe she's, you know, lined up to get a big Yerusha. And then if she doesn't revoke the marriage, then he gets the goods, you know, and she might bring Nichsei Milug, that he gets the payroll, things like that. But anyway, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, we're on the fifth very wide line. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov and Mir Bechuli. Now, according to the Tana Reb Lezer ben Yaakov in the Mishnah, which we did yesterday, he says that, that if the like that which holds her back into the marriage or is coming from the man's side, then we view her as his wife. But if what's holding her back in the marriage is not coming from the man, then it's not like he's his wife. And we'll see in the Gemara, and we'll explain hopefully in a few minutes. Okay, so Reb Lezer, the fifth white line, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov ben Rechulei. So what is the Tana talking about? What's a hindrance that's from the man and a hindrance from the woman? So I'm going to be more Shmuel. Let's say people approached her and she was so-called married to Reuven. And people approach her and say, why don't you marry Shimon? He says, Va'amra machlan ploni bali. She's like, I can't marry Shimon because the ploni, my husband, Reuven, my husband. Zui akava shimon aish. That's like, in other words, that's what's holding her back is because of her husband. So that validates the marriage. That would validate the marriage. But if she says, I can't marry Shimon, I don't like the shidduch, isn't good. And according to this Hezber, so it sounds like it would not, that the marriage would be dissolved right away. It wouldn't even be a marriage, right? That would be it. Now, Abai Bar Avin, Rav Chanina Bar Avin, Tamri Tarbayu. So Abai Bar Avin and Rav Chanina Bar Avin sound like two brothers. They both say, this is a different hazard. Natan La Geth, Zui Akava Shim Menaish. Now, it's a different hazard. In other words, if he gives her a geth, that's Akava Shim Menaish, Vuhu Asur Bekrovotel, Vyasur Bekrovav, Upasla Menakuhuna. In other words, what the Tan is saying, that if he gave her a geth, that establishes that there was like a marriage for certain dinim, and as a result of that, he becomes prohibited in marrying her relatives, she becomes marrying his relatives, and he passes her from the kuna. But mian abo, but if she does the mian, she's in other words, we can end this marriage in one of two ways, or at least two ways. One is get and one is mian. So if they do get, that's coming from the man's side, and that has certain implications of the halacha. If she does mian, which is coming from the woman's side, Zui akava sheimena, it's not coming from the man. As a result of that, v'mutar b'krovoteha. Then, if she does mian, so he's allowed to marry her relatives. He can marry her sister, whatever. V'himutar b'krovav. She can marry his relatives. Below pasal menakuna, she's not pasal from marrying Cohen. So that's a nice shot. But the Gemara says, come on. But we're going to learn in two lines of the Gemara. The next Mishnah says that explicitly. If she does mian, so it's like no harm, no foul. It's like, yeah, we're going to forget about everything. It's like we weren't married. You get, it's like we were married, and now all the prohibitions click in. So why would the Tana Mishnah be repeating it again? If that's the shot in the earlier Mishnah. Like, where's this Perush Kamafarish? That's the Mishnah is explaining the previous line. That's what the previous line means. So we have two pshatim over here. It either means that if she's staying in the marriage because of the husband, that validates the marriage. But if she's saying, you know, I can't marry Plony because, you know, he's not a good shidduch, then she doesn't even need me and she's not married to him. Or the pshat is, kulakavashim na'ish, kiluhi ishto, if the husband gives her a get, then we treat her like she's his wife, but if she does mian, we don't treat her like she's his wife. Everything is nullified ab initio. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay, we're moving on. Okay, we're four lines from the bottom. Okay, now the next piece of Gemara is a little more difficult than what we had up till now, but nothing that everybody here cannot handle. Okay, now, four lines from the bottom. We'll see how we do with the time, okay? 1 minute. Okay, now, Manitin. Amen ma'enet be'ish This is what we just had. We're just repeating what we did one line ago. Okay. Hama'ena be'ish. If a woman does mi'un, hu mutar b'kravotel v'mutar b'kravav. So he's allowed to marry her mishpacha. She can marry his mishpacha. She's not possible for marrying Cohen because she wasn't divorced. Natana get, but if he gives her a get, who has to be even though the get is only on the bottom level, but she's prohibited on his relatives. He's prohibited on her relatives. He has to be krovav, she's prohibited on his relatives. Now she can never marry Cohen. Now, Natana get the Hezira. Now let's say we'll give them names. So Reuven was, in quotation marks, married to Rachel, but just like, you know, Kiddushik Tana, either from the mother or brother, or when somebody shown him from her to herself. And then he terminates it by giving her a get. And then Bechzira, and then he brings her back as his wife. And then Mi'un Abo, and then she does Mi'un. B'nisek La'acher, then she's an active woman. She marries Shimon. B'nit Armelo and Garsha. And then the marriage to Shimon terminates, either she's widowed or divorced. Muteret lachzorlo, she's allowed to go back to husband number one, which is Reuven. Now, let's just think this through for a second. Now, if she were an adult and she Reuven divorced her, she can't go back. Here, no. Right. Under these fact patterns. So again, so if Reuven divorces a wife, she marries Shimon. And then that marriage terminates, so Reuven can't take her back. But here, Reuven divorces her, but then he took her back, and then she did Mi'un. So we'll see. He says, Mi'un Abo, now we're going to flip it over. Let's say she did Mi'un, Bechzira, Natan Get. Now he gives her a get, Benisei Lacher, now she marries somebody else, Shimon, and it's Armelon and Garsha, widowed or divorced, Asur Lachzorlo. She can't go back. The Lagmar is going to explain, but we'll see Rashi in a minute. That when she's going through like a get, and was like, we kind of like view her like an adult. Like, even though she's a katana, we kind of view her an adult and we treat her like an adult. If the last contact she had with Reuven was a get, so we're treating her like an adult, she gets the adult treatment. But if the last contact with Reuven was Mi'un, so Mi'un is like a flag to say, I'm not an adult, I'm a katana, and then we give her a katana treatment. So again, so when you do Mi'un, in other words, the Mi'un is nullifying everything that came before. Everything is like press the delete button. So when she gets the get, and then he takes her back and she says Mi'un, it's like delete. Like the whole relationship is deleted. So then she gets divorced from Shimon, she can go back to Reuven. We don't view her as having been married to Reuven because she's the Mi'un. But if she did Mi'un first, then he brings her back, and then she gets a get, so we view her as an adult with the get, and then she's subject to all the prohibitions. Let's look at the Rashi on this quickly. He says, if 6 lines from the bottom in Rashi, Uter Lachzorlo, he says, Afal Gav Dim Loach Zira, Benisei Lacher, Mitoka Gerushin. And this is the case where she was divorced and then he took her back and did Mi'un. So even though if he didn't bring her back and then she married somebody else, who's divorced and married somebody else, then it's Armala, Surah Larishon, she'd be prohibited to the first husband. Afil Hachi, Zira Umin Abo. But when he brings her back before she marries somebody else, and then she does Mi'un, Ati Mi'un, Begalila, the Katanahi. The Mi'un is like a red flag saying to the world that she's a Katana, Uvit Lua Lagita, and it's Mabakel her get, Velo Habi Bechazar Shnia, Kamaxi Grushato, Mishinise Lafair. We don't view her as Maxi or Grushato situation. Okay, turn the page on Amadeus now. Okay, Kup Khanamadeus. Zaha Klau, this is the overarching principle. Get achar mi'un asur lachzorlo. If on the same fact pattern, if the get follows the mi'un by the same husband, that is, she can't come back to him. Mi'un achar get muter lachzorlo. But if mi'un follows the get, then she can come back to him for the reasons that we just explained. Now, let me just do it to the end of the Mishnah and then I'll pause. Now, it's going to be a stira for the next section. Hamma'enet be'ish. A woman does mi'un in a man. There's going to be 5 husbands here, okay? So husband number one was mi'un. Then she marries husband number two is Gerushin. So Mi'un Gerushin, La'acher Mi'una. Then we have Mi'un, Mi'un Abo. And then La'acher Vagirsha. And then husband number four ends in Gerushin. And then the Bahed, La'acher Mi'una. So it means husbands 1, 3, and 5 had Mi'un. 2 and 4 had Gerushin. He says, Zaha Klal, Kol Shiyotza Himeno Beget, Asura Lachzorlo. So if she left
the earlier husband with the get, she can't come back to him. With me and she could. So it means she cannot come back to husbands 2 and 4 because those were terminated with a get, even though they were followed by Mian. So that seems to be a steer. Let's think this through for a second. So we said in the first part of the Mishnah that if there's a get and it's followed by a Mian, so the Mian is like the red flag saying she's a katana and all bets are off and now everything's nullified, press a delete button. Here we have different people, but it's the, he have the get that's followed by a Mian, and we don't say it's like delete. We say that if he gave her a get, he can't come back to her. If he gave her a Mian, she can come back to him for reasons that we'll explain in the Gemara. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? In the beginning part of the Mishnah, if get is followed by Mian, everything is erased. Mian, the get is erased. The get is erased. It's pressed the delete button.
Go back.
In the second part of the Mishnah, I have Mian, get, Mian, get, Mian. So the subsequent Mian after each get doesn't erase the get. And she can't go back to the person she right. So that's the stira. Okay? Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, I'm moving on. Yeah. What? What? Which case are you talking about? What do you, I don't understand what.
Yeah,
that's
part of the mission.
Wait, somebody else? The first part of the mission, we had just two people, Reuben and Shimon.
No.
The first part of the Mishnah was she was married to Reuven.
Yes.
Then in one Ukimta, he gave her a get. Then they reconciled. No, you got it wrong. Okay. So he did, wait, she does marry somebody else, but not yet. She gives her a get. Then they reconcile. Then she does Mian. Then she does Mian. You with me? Okay. Everybody just listen. Okay. So the first case is Reuven and Rachel are a couple. Then Reuven gives her a get. Then they're not a couple. Then Reuven gets together with Rachel, and now they're a couple again. Then she does Mion with Reuven. Then she goes off to Shimon, marries Shimon. Then Shimon either dies or divorces her. And then she wants to come back to Reuven, who she was sort of married to twice before. So the Tanakh of the Mishnah said, if the get and the Mian in my example was after the get, she can go back because the Mian is like the red flag that it's older abundant. Why should we care? It's terminated. Okay. Now let's take a look back in the Gemara. Okay. So we're on the fifth line on Kuf Tanu Beis. Okay. So the Gemara says, Alma, now focusing on the first part of the Mishnah, which we just went over a piece of it. Alma atimiyun umavat forget. So from that part of the Mishnah says, when you have Mian, the get is history. He says, Ramini, on this we pose a contradiction from the second part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah says, Tamere be'ish, if a woman does Mion with Reuven, and then she marries Shimon and he divorces her, then La'akir Mion Abo, and then she marries Levi and she does Mion with him, La'akir Begirsha, then she marries Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and then Issachar, then she marries Issachar, he divorces her, and then you have to add on, according to Bach, that the fifth person, maybe Zvulun, she marries him and does Mion. So I see that the Mian of my neighboring husband, so to speak, is not Mabatel the get. So that's the stira. In other words, in the first part of the Mishnah, Mian is like the ultimate solvent. It dissolves everything that came before, any get. But in the second part of the Mishnah, the Mian doesn't work that way. That's the question. So Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel Tavra. So Rav Yehuda says in the Shmuel, it's a contradiction. The Tana who taught the first part of the Mishnah is not the Tana who taught the second part of the Mishnah, meaning that the Tana in the Reisha holds that Mion is Mabatel to get, like for the reasons that we said. The Tana in the second part of the Mishnah holds Mion does not impact the get at all, and the get is still in full force and in effect, and so so she can't come back to somebody who divorced her after marrying somebody else. Okay, that's the first answer. Now, the Gemara goes on. Now, here, the Bach gives a possibility it should be Rabba with the hay. I'm a Rabba, Umay Tusha. Why is that a contradiction? Rabba, again, we had a contradiction
between the Reisha and the Seifa of our Mishnah. The Reisha seems to say Miyun like dissolves a get, and the Seifa of the Miyun doesn't dissolve a get. So Rabbah says, why is that a contradiction? Rabbah is going to prove that it's not a contradiction. He says, V'dilma, Miyun didei, mevatel get didei. Maybe Miyun, which is directed to the person himself, is mevatel his get. He says, Miyun dechavre, but the Miyun of my fellow sort of husband or whatever, lo mevatel gita didei, not mevatel his get. So umayshna Miyun dechavre lo mevatel gita didei. So why is it that the Miyun of my fellow husband or whatever you want to call them is not mevatel my get? In other words, let's say I'm Shimon and I gave her a get, and Levi, my sort of co-husband, gives her Miyun. Why does that mevatel my get? So it really means, technically speaking, it should be mevatel the get. But the Chachamim said it isn't. Why? And here the Baka adds, the Ivy, the Makarit bin Remiz Otav, the Kreet Otav, Azal Meshabesh, Umaitila. Because they had a close relationship. Let's say, whether it was Reuven or Shimon, they had a close relationship with each other. And now she went off and married, let's say, Levi. And we're concerned that Shimon is sort of going to communicate with her, like sort of like a wink and a nod, like, you know, he'll make movements of his face, of his lips, in a way to induce her to come back to him. In other words, he wants to spoil that marriage. He wants to encourage her to do Miyun so she can come back to him. Come back to him. So we don't like that. We don't like that. So because of that, you know, the Chachamim said, even though technically the Miyun should, you know, revoke all the Gittin, but because we're concerned of a conduct like this, we're not going to say it revokes it. So she can never come back to the one who gave her the get. The safer case, right? Where it's different men involved. He says here, so I don't recommend he'll persuade her to come back to him. So the Gemara says, Miyun didei nami, loli bakal gita didei. So if that's the case, his own Miyun should not be good to be bakal to get. So here also, let's say it's the Reisha case. So the Reisha case, he was married to her, then they had a reconciliation. And then she did Miyun with him. So then she went off and married somebody else, Shimon. So maybe we should say the Miyun is not good to dissolve his get because we don't want to encourage Reuven to kind of like solicit her to come back to him and destroy the other marriage. So the Gemara says, Hakvar Shabsha v'lo Yishabsha. So they've been there, done that. In other words, they had already tried sort of like counseling. In other words, they were married. Then she got back together again. And then she did Miyun. Presumably before she did Miyun, he tried to induce her to stay with him. But she was out. So the Gemara says it's not really such concern in that situation that he would try to induce her this way and the other way. So the bottom line being that according to Rabbah, there is no contradiction in the Mishnah. In other words, the Tana of the Mishnah holds that Miyun does dissolve the get. But in certain situations, the Chachamim said doesn't because of policy considerations. We don't want him to what was it called? Alienation of affections. You know, in common law, there used to be a cause of action, alienation of affections. Let's say, you know, Reuven was, you know, engaged to Rachel, and then Shimon comes in and draws Rachel away from Reuven. So there used to be a cause of action here in New York that Reuven could sue Shimon for alienation of affections because he took away his girl. So it's been abolished many years. Now, not only is it abolished, but now if you bring the action, I think it's a crime or whatever to bring the action, but that's called alienation of affections. Anyway, but that's what, well, this is going back probably like, it must be like 80 years ago or something like that. More than 80 years ago. It goes back much more like 100 years ago, something like that. Okay, so now, so the Gemara says, although in one state, I think it's still around. It came up. Yeah, I think in one state that it's still. So anyway, so Eli Kasha. So now, the Gemara says that according to Rabbah, though, there is a stira in the Mishnah, but it's not the stira that we said.
Eli kasha de chavre de chavre kasha. In other words, if there's a contradiction, the contradiction is between his like co-husbands, which is Mina bo the zira. Natan leget and yisayt la'acher, but it armelo and it garsha asur lakzurlo. So the Mishnah said this was the earlier part of the Mishnah, where she did Mion, then he took her back, he reconciled with her, and then he gave her a get. And then she married somebody else, and then she was widowed or divorced, Asur Lakzorlo. She cannot come back to Reuven at that point in time. Tama did Armlo and Garsha. So the Gemara deduces the reason she can't go back to Reuven is because she was widowed or divorced. Hamiana Muter Lakzorlo. But had she done Mion with husband number two, she would be permitted to go back to husband number one. Alma ati Mion de Chavre Mbakal Gita Dide. So we say that the Mion of his friend is Mbakal his get. Now, the only thing is which is difficult with this, and the Rishonim ask, in other words, she was married to Reuven, and then she does Mion with Reuven. Then they get back together again, then Reuven gives her a get. Then she goes off to Shimon, and then that marriage ends. So the Gemara deduces, so she can't go back to Reuven anymore. But the Gemara says, but I could deduce from the language of the Mishnah, if she had done Mion with Shimon, she could go back to Reuven. So the Gemara is figuring that the Mion with Shimon is Mavakel Reuven's get. That's what we think. But the emphasis is that we discussed already, Mion like means everything is deleted and never existed. So that's the question on the Gemara. But assuming that to be the case, Ramini, then we have a contradiction. Because so from one clause in the Mishnah, it sounds like somebody else's Mion can impact on my get and the Resha, and from the Seifa, somebody else's Mion cannot impact on my get. So the Gemara says, Amr Blazar. Tavra, Mishna Shanazul or Shanazul. So Blaz says, Tak, it's a contradiction. The Tana that taught that clause, not the Tana that taught this clause. Ula Amar, Ula says, Gagon, Shishilsha Begitin. That the case of the Seifa is, she was like, what's the right word? She was like a, not recidivist, but she was a, I don't know, she had been through the route so many times. She'd been divorced three times. He says, the Mexia Kigidola. In other words, she irretrievably looks like a gadola in the Seifa case. In other words, in the case of the Seifa is, we didn't spell it out, but it means more, that she ended three marriages were terminated with a get. So this girl, if she got getting three, right, she gets getting three times, she like looks like a gadola, you know, walks, you know, if she talks like a gadola, walks like, you know, quacks like, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, she's a duck. So she's a gadola. One more get, right, one gadola. So therefore, the Neon can't undo it. Okay. So that's that piece up till now. All right. We only have a little bit of time left. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? No, it could be even more, certainly. But if it's three, it's like Hazaka, like she's establishing herself like a gadola. She's if three, that's if she hit the jackpot with that, and now Mion is not effective to undo her given. Okay. So the Gemara says Mantana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? So Amar Rav Yudah Marav, my dechiv, may made a bekes of shatin, it's a pasuk from Eicha, our water with silver, with money we drank, etzenu b'mechir yavo, our wood comes with a price. So the way he's darshing that pasuk, like it's saying, may made it was the Torah. In other words, the Torah, sometimes you have to spend a lot of money for it, and he's going to say like the time of Roman persecution, they couldn't study Torah. So he says, b'shara sakan, and the wood also represents Torah. So he says, b'shara sakana nifasha halakha zu. At the time of like Roman persecution, the following halakha was asked. Hareshi etzami rishon beget, if she left husband number one with a get, umisheni b'mion, and then husband number two, she leaves the mion, ma'u shtachzor the rishon. Can she go back to husband number one? So from our Mishnah, it sounds like she could if it was with, from the beginning of the Mishnah, it sounded like she could. From the Sefer, it sounds like she can't. He says, "B'mi ma'ushtas or the Rishon." So, sachru adam echad ba'arba mi'od zuz. They hired a man for 400 zuz, like $1 zillion, They got him in to the jail to ask Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva wasn't in prison. But Asar, he says, absolutely not. She can't go back to husband number one. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Matthei, Rabbi Netzivan, and they asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Matthei and Netzivan, but Asar, absolutely number not. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Luzulo Hitzrachnu. He says, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, what do you even need to ask questions? So pashut that she's allowed to go back to husband number one. Le Yisra Kare Gitarta, with Mian, in other words, she's an Eishanish, but with Mian, you say you can marry other people. In other words, so he says, Le Yisra Lav Lo Koshkein, why can't the Mian good be good to permit an Easter love? This is Baram Tach Shalu. Rather, this is what the question was that was propounded. Hare Shaita Eshet Achimo Shishnilo, a different case. There was Eshet Achimo, which is his aunt. In other words, the wife of his mother's brother, which is Shnilo, the Shnilo Rayo. In other words, he's Asher on her. He cannot marry her. And then his paternal brother marries, in other words, this is on his mother's side. On his mother's side, he has an aunt who's not a blood relative. That's Shniel La Rayo. Then his paternal brother marries that aunt. In other words, that marriage gets terminated, and my paternal brother marries her. Then my paternal brother dies. So the question that was propounded, can I do Mion, you know, sort of like, posthumously. In other words, after the husband's not alive anymore. In other words, she was married to my uncle. She was married to my uncle, this woman. And then that marriage terminated. Either he died or he died. Then she married my brother because she was a very young girl. She was very young. And then she married my brother. And now my brother dies and I'm facing a Yibam situation, but I can't marry her because she's Shnia La Rayo. So the question is, can she, this Katana, do Mion posthumously with my uncle? In other words, she was married to my uncle and then my uncle died, but can she do Mion now, even though after he's dead, right? Can you do Mion after he's dead? Right. So let's see what they say. Now, so Yesh Mion La'achar Mita B'Mako Mitzvah. Do we say you can have Mion even after death because it's a Mako Mitzvah? Oh, no, or not. Now, again, Beit Shammai says that it has to be, I don't know if Beit Shammai would disagree with this. Beit Shammai says it has to be between Baala because she might be embarrassed from the Baal, but the Baal's dead, there's nothing to be embarrassed from. He's Olo. So Sakru Shnei B'nei Adam, so they hired two people according to this, Bar Meotzos, Ubao B'Shalu Rabbi Akiva B'Beit Asurim, he asked Rabbi Akiva in jail, Ba'asar, he says, absolutely not. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ashan, Motor Rav. Now, Rav, one second. We didn't have Rav explicitly, but we had it implicitly before. One second. Yeah. So Rav was six lines above where it got wide, that Rav had quoted those two Tanayim. And Rashi says Rav also counts like a Tana. So he says, Umoda Rav, so even Rav, who holds that if she was divorced from husband number one and then husband number two did Neon, she can't go back to husband number one. Even Rav, who holds that, Umoda Rav, Shemuter Lachim Shoseshin Esralav. So this is going back to the earlier case. So, in other words, again, she was married to Reuven, and then Reuven divorces her. Then she was married to Shimon, and Shimon does Mion to her. So she can't go back to Reuven, but even Rav would say she could go back to Reuven's brother. She can go back to Reuven's brother. She can marry Reuven's brother. No. She was married to Reuven. Then she married, I said Shimon, she married somebody else. She married David, and David did Mion with her. So she can't go back to Reuven. But even Rav holds she can go back to Reuven's brother. Even the divorce, listen a minute. Now he says, Rav, so the Gemara says, Pshita, who knew? And again, what's the issue why we're afraid? So remember, with Mion, we're afraid that there's like sort of like Kinunia. We're afraid that he, Reuven, will induce her to do the Mion to come back to him. So because of that, in other words, the Mion should work to dissolve the get, but it doesn't work. Because we're afraid that he's going to like try to draw her back. says, who knew the Makarabaris Tabakris Satav? Yeah. In other words, she knows his like winks and nods and things like that. About Achiv Lo, but the brother not. So the brother's permissible. Mao de Tema, Ligzar Haya, too high. So, but I might have thought I should make Xera for the brother because of Ruvain, Kamashalan, that not this way. The Ikeda Amri, others say, Amra Yisqat Bar Ashen, and then the Bach is Amarav, Kishem Shasur Lo, Kachasur La'achim. Just like she's prohibited to Ruvain, she is prohibited to Shimon. She doesn't know the brother's, like, you know, grimaces and twitches and things like that. Because the brother's because of him. So the idea here in this last piece is that we said that the Mion should work to dissolve the get. And the Mion should, like, make the get, like, a nullity. But the Gemara says that that because of the word concerned about the remizot and the pretot, so not this way. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Yeah, but then we didn't have where the get was followed by Mion. Okay. All right. Now let me just do a little bit here, and then that's most likely be it for tonight. Now, okay. Now we had Ezmi Ketan Shetzrich Lamai. So Rabbi Chanina ben Atignos. Let me see what the sheets here. What other sheet I have? Here. One second. Let's see what the story was. All right. Why don't we do a story? Michael never likes the stories, but we'll do a story tonight. Okay. This is from the Daf Yomi Digest. Okay. During a period when the Roman kingdom forbade learning Torah, a non-Jewish man was paid 400 zuz to ask a particular question Rabbi Akiva in prison. I didn't know if it was non-Jewish, but he says non-Jewish. Similarly, all too often Jews throughout the exile have had to pay veritable fortunes and bribes to the authorities in order to properly observe the Torah's laws. Ramosha Feinstein himself possessed a white pass, a deferment from the Russian army granted to a select few. In 5676, 1915, 1916, however, the Russian government nullified previous deferments and forced everybody to be reevaluated. Although it was possible to undergo inspection in a nearby city, Ramosha and his father, Reb David Zitzal, figured they were better off reporting to the draft board in the distant city of Hummel, where they were unknown. Hummel had the added advantage of being close to Samalovich near Minsk, where the Chafetz Chaim and his yeshiva were temporarily staying. In other words, the Chafetz Chaim yeshiva was in Radin, but then during the war, they had to flee and move to different places, so they were in Minsk. So on the way to Hummel, both father and son went to the Chafetz Chaim to ask him to daven for them and to receive the blessing of the great Tzaddik, so they shouldn't have to be in the Russian army during World War I. When they arrived and were introduced, the Chafetz Chaim turned to the young Ramosha and said, I've heard about you. After speaking and learning for a while, the Chafetz Chaim asked what had brought them so far from home. They explained their purpose. The Gadol said, there is a heavenly decree against you. Since you bear the yoke of Torah, however, the yoke of the kingdom will be nullified, as it says in Avot. In other words, when the Feinsteins reached Hummel, they noticed that even cripples were being drafted. They bribed an official 30 rubles to grant them 3 weeks reprieve for family reasons, in hopes that the next time they appeared for inspection, selection would not be so broad. According to the law, any appointed rabbi over 30 was exempt. Before the time elapsed, they paid the official in charge of the draft in their area the astronomical sum of 300 rubles to confirm that Ramosha, who was only 21 at the time, was really of age, so he could quickly avoid the draft. Despite the obstacles, they succeeded, and Ramosha was not forced to serve. In later years, when Ramosha would tell this story, he would say, it shows the greatness of the blessing of a tzaddik combined with proper shtadlut. I'll tell you, the Chafetz Chaim, I remember reading, once he was studying with Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, and Ramosha came to them, and I don't remember, and it was Ramosha was here for a brief visit. I don't remember exactly, but I remember that I think the Chafetz Chaim, like he had, what do they call when you write it of Sefer, like you not a skama, like you give a Sefer to somebody, you write like words or something like that. So I think that the Ramosha had a Sefer from the Chafetz Chaim, with the Chafetz Chaim, like, you know, to X, you know, this, that, the other. And then one of his Talmidim saw the Sefer, and then Ramosha saw him looking at the Sefer. And so the next time the Talmud came there, he wanted to see the Sefer, and he pulled it. And the sheet with this like, you know, like had all these, like, you know, for Moshe it was a great learning, whatever. That page was ripped out of the Sefer. He didn't want people to see what the Chafetz Chaim said. Okay, let me get the recording. Let me just do this here. 1 second.